Evan's Gate, written by Rhys Bowen and read by Roger Clark.
Prologue. The small girl moved over the springy turf of the mountainside, her light feet making so little impression on the grass beneath her that she appeared to be weightless, a bright spirit only barely connected to solid earth. Her long blonde hair floated out behind her in the wind, and she hummed to herself as she climbed higher and higher. At last she reached the high meadow with the world spread out at her feet and stood for a moment, catching her breath, looking around in anticipation. Then she gasped. There it was, exactly as she had pictured it. She gave a small squeak of delight and ran to meet her destiny. Chapter 1. Suzanne Bosley Thomas sat in her car, staring out at the bleak landscape. Snow had dusted the peaks of the Snowdon Horseshoe, and leaden clouds were heavy with the promise of more snow to come. Bloody Wales, she thought. It's supposed to be the middle of bloody May, and instead it's like the middle of bloody winter. God, I hate it here, she said out loud to herself. I wish I'd never come. You don't have to go in, a voice whispered inside her head. You could start the engine and drive straight home. Nobody would ever know that you'd been here. The thought was so appealing that her hand strayed toward the car key. Then she snatched the key from its slot, dropped it into her purse, and zipped her anorak right up to her chin. She couldn't risk not going in, not being part of this whole farce. There was too much at stake. The wind was so strong that it almost snatched the car door out of her hand as she opened it. It took her breath away and made her eyes water as she hurried across the car park toward the Everest Inn Hotel. As she got her first good look at it, she started in surprise and wondered briefly whether she was hallucinating. The Everest Inn resembled a giant Swiss chalet, complete with carved wooden balconies and pots of geraniums, so different from the plain grey stone houses in the villages she had passed. The snow-dusted mountains behind it added to the Swiss fantasy. Surreal, she muttered. Surreal was a good word to describe how she was feeling at this moment. At the etched glass front doors she hesitated again. Last chance, the voice in her head repeated. Back to the car, down the pass to the A55, and then only an hour before you're back in England. She took a deep breath, pushed her hair out of her face, and stepped inside. Warmth and soft music greeted her. The hotel foyer was a large, cavernous area with a stone fireplace taking up most of one wall. Her gaze swept over the brass and polished wood reception counter, the broad carpeted staircase, no expense spared here. Then she froze as she saw them, that group of three men seated at the round coffee table near the fire. It was them, wasn't it? Yes, she recognized her brother, Henry. He looked just like her father at the same age. In fact, the resemblance was so remarkable that she shivered and glanced back at the front doors. It was raining now, a mixture of sleet and rain peppering the glass. "Can I help you, madam?" the girl at the reception desk asked at the same moment that one of the men at the table looked up and said, "There she is now." He got to his feet. "Susie," he exclaimed, coming to meet her. "It has to be Susie. You haven't changed one bit. God, your hands are freezing. Come over by the fire." "Bloody Wales," she said, laughing in embarrassment as he took her hand. "It wasn't always this cold, was it? We were always here in August, and I don't think it snows in August, even in Wales. Come and get warm. We've a fresh pot of tea, and would you like something to eat?" "Tea would be lovely, thank you,"